The EMS Garage is a production of EMSRadio.com. You can find us on Facebook, just search EMS Garage. You can find us on Twitter at EMS Garage. Email us, emsgarage@gmail.com, or call us, 303-720-6001.
The EMS Garage.
Okay, I got DC on the phone there. Wanted to know if you could handle that call as well. Just confirming you are checking the patient.
Stay on the next 22 is on scene.
Wow, that was the coolest opening I've had yet. Wow. I actually feel like I'm a real radio show. That's good. Hi, everybody. I'm Chris Montero, the Geeky Medic, on all of those really cool websites. You can find me, Geeky Medic, on Twitter, on Facebook, on pretty much any website. Also, you can find our weekly radio show about EMS on emsgarage.com. You can find EMS Leadership, EMS Educast. You can find us all there. We do a weekly radio show about topics in EMS. So I'd like to do a couple things, got to do a few announcements. First, I'd like to thank Zoll. They're our sponsor today, ZollRescueNetLink, and you can go to zoll.com/mediccast and find out more information about us and about that product. You can also go to gems.com and find out more about us. They brought us here as well, and we really thank them and Fire EMS Blogs and Zoll. So thank you guys very much for coming. So joining me today, at EMS today, it's like really cool. I can say today a lot. Sorry. It's weird when you have an audience. Like Jamie said earlier, I'm normally talking to my dog or the wall, but it's really cool. Joining me first is Mr. Mike Kurz. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing well. And you're from Zoll?
No, I'm an academic physician in Richmond, Virginia.
Oh, Dr. Mike Kurz. Sorry about that.
No, it's fine.
Thank you for joining me. Also joining me, if you have not heard about EMS 2.0 and you don't know anything about it, you need to learn a little bit about it. Joining me is Mr. Justin Shore.
Good day, sir.
Hello. The Happy Medic.
Yes, the Happy Medic, and it's good to do this face-to-face.
I know. It's kind of weird.
Actually. It is weird.
A little bit. Yeah.
It's nice.
Well, thanks for joining me.
Thanks.
Are you going to take
me
over my show or no?
Not this time.
Okay.
But I will do
time.
Another happy hour.
I want, if you haven't, you got to go download episode, what was it?
72 or 73.
Yeah.
There's so many great episodes that get lost. It gets lost in there.
I think you could take my job.
No.
Okay.
No.
You could. But you're an actor, so we really appreciate it. I mean, a paramedic, so we really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Also joining me is Mr. Mark Glencourse, all the way from the UK, and we thank Zoll for bringing them out as well.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Have you been enjoying the show?
It's been amazing. It's like a fanboy's dream, blogger's dream to come out and see, as well as everyone who's coming by, the sheer amount of EMS bloggers that I've been reading for years and years, and they're all here. And we're getting to meet them, and it's fantastic.
So tell me, Mark and Justin, tell me a little bit about what Chronicles of EMS is. What is that all about?
If you haven't already heard, it's a reality web-based TV series which explores EMS. It's going to be around the world. Started off in San Francisco with myself and Justin, and we're just about to start moving across Europe and working with various EMS agencies to share best practice, to go and work with operational paramedics and learn from them what they want to see EMS progress to the next level and to move up to the profession that we all know it should be and we all want it to be. And what we've seen when we've been at EMS today, thanks to Zoll, is just there's so many people who, as soon as they understand what it is, they want to be part of. And the amount of medical directors who've just stopped by and straight away have said, we want you to come, is
really
just incredible.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, and so, Mark, you got to plug your blog, though. What's your blog?
My blog is www.999medic.com.
Very cool. And you're on Twitter as well?
And Twitter at UKMedic999.
All right. Well, and if you don't know what Twitter is, just go find Twitter, and it's very cool. It's really not as dirty as it sounds. So, Justin, tell me a little bit. So how did you guys meet? You know, I know there's a story on Chronicles of EMS, but tell me a little bit about how you guys met.
Well, there's a rumor about an online dating service, and those are completely false.
Yeah, I've heard it's true.
It all started when I started the happymedic.com blog after an injury, as you saw on the show. A piece of ceiling fell on me as a fireman, and I needed a way to kind of recover from that, writing, sharing my ideas, and it was suggested I start a diary. Didn't want it to start a diary, so I started a blog. I started blogging about the way I deal with patients in San Francisco and fire-based EMS, and I started reading other blogs, and I came across UK Medic 999 and how he was dealing with the same patients, the same people, in a completely different way. The same amount of training, we deal with patients the same, but our systems give us different tools to help those patients. We started talking about it, sharing posts, got real involved with social media, Twitter, started reading other blogs, and we realized we need to take this to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to really learn each other's systems is to work with each other.
Okay.
So let's book some airline tickets, and let's get Mark out to San Francisco, and let's put him on a fire engine, and let's see how a UK medic from a national healthcare system does in a for-profit EMS tiered model.
Right.
And let's get the American paramedic over to the NHS where you can tell people, no, you're not going to the hospital. And it got a following, surprisingly.
I know. A lot of people follow you guys.
A lot of people followed, and we were originally going to have the BBC do a show about it.
Yep.
And that didn't work out. And we came on your show 4 days before Mark arrived to tell the world that we were finally going to pull the trigger and do this thing.
It was 4 days.
Four days.
4 days before.
And
I thought it was 2 weeks.
And we were also on the show by chance with Mr. Ted Settla,
right,
of Settla Films.
Right.
And he listened to the show when you talked about what we were going to do, kind of that. And Ted said, I have to film this. I absolutely have to film this. We need to get the money to figure out how we can afford to get cameras and cameramen in San Francisco for a week to film this.
Right.
And through viewer donations, small sponsorships, Dr. Keith Wesley came up big to help us out, and also Zoll Medical came through with a good sponsorship. And we got the cameras, and that became the Chronicles of EMS.
Very cool. Like, you know, because I don't think we really understood what the name of it was going to be at that point. We just knew we were sending people to go film, and you guys were like, yeah, let's just do it.
Yeah.
Did you guys even have a... You just knew the story was you guys were working together. That's all you knew.
We knew the story was we wanted to learn from each other.
Right.
And the only way to do that was really just get an ambulance and go in service and wait for the bells to ring and then talk about it afterwards and during. And as you see in the show, that's exactly what we did, and that's exactly what happened.
I think the initial thing was just going to be an experience for me and you, which we will blog about and share, maybe write a book. And then me and my wife, Sandra, used to laugh because we'd get emails coming in from Justin, the crazy American who's finished off by, we're going to change the world, we're going to travel the world. And it was be like, oh, you know, he's just being Justin, you know.
Just the American.
That's not going to happen. But
told you.
It's happening. You know, we're going to travel and we're going to share best practice.
Now, do you get over your jet lag every time or just enough time to fly home?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay, perfect.
I'll be fine for Sunday night.
Oh, perfect. Oh, that'll be great. So, is this your first large American conference?
Yes.
What do you think?
We have one called AMBEX in the UK,
uh-huh,
which was ended for some reason last year. I hope it's coming back.
Wow.
Exactly the same, but just this is on a bigger scale, of course, because it's
sure
in America. but I've never been involved in the exhibition like this. It's always just been walking around, having a look at the stores, seeing how many freebies you can get. That's always the challenge.
Absolutely.
But to actually be part of it and to be sharing it and to be a part of it so that we actually talk to people who are integral in the industry.
Right.
And the networking opportunities are just incredible.
Well, you know, and I, it's so funny because I walk through the halls and I always find somebody I know. But then I meet two people from Canada the other night and we're just hanging out. And of course, you know, they drank me under the bar. But but I just find it so cool that we all have this camaraderie when we can come together like that.
Yeah.
So here's the segue for him. So you came from the UK. What was your impression of American ambulances when you got here?
American ambulances or American, American ambulances?
No, like the actual vehicle.
The vehicle?
Yeah.
Tell the truth.
Well, went to work. Justin had always talked about Medic 99, this ambulance that he always talks about San Francisco and stuff. And in the UK, we actually had the American-style G40 ambulances for a number of years that were brought over.
Okay.
And we've moved on now to a different type of ambulance completely. And Justin was showing me his pride and joy. And I just looked in the back and it was just... No, really? This is because nothing was fastened down, everything was loose, there was just the bench seat. You know, I've just actually been down to speak to the the ambulance designers and stuff there, and I walked around and I said, how come none of your ambulances at all have tail lifts on the back? Why do your paramedics have to lift them all the time? And as Justin says, that's his tail lifts right there.
That's how I don't get hurt, is I use those muscles to lift patients. Full service, American EMS.
Great, that's good.
But it's where our ambulances are governed by European Union law now. We now have a European-wide vehicle procurement program, and they're all designed the same. They're all designed the same standards. Everything's got to be hidden behind away cupboards and such like, and locked away. Which Justin had some really interesting comments on when he came over. And we ended up with saying, well, maybe the American style isn't that bad. There's some things that are beneficial. There's some things that are beneficial in ours. Comes back to Chronicles again. Wouldn't it be great if we could meet in the middle and have a designed ambulance which serves every purpose?
So, Mike, or Doc, what do you think is...
Mike
is okay. Oh, wait, I'm going to let you clear.
Fine.
Okay, all right, Michael.
Thank you.
So, you have done... Tell me a little bit about the research you've done into ambulance safety.
Well, Mark's comment about nothing being strapped down the back of the ambulance is very poignant. So I rode as a medic for 7 years myself before I became a doctor, and it's a hostile environment in the back of a American ambulance. Nothing's restrained. We don't secure anything. Most of the time you're up and moving around. You're not restrained. And so we've done some research into just how hostile that environment in the back of the ambulance is. What we found is that not only is it incredibly dangerous for providers in the back, and when those of us who've been in the back of the ambulance, we know it.
Yeah,
and
right.
You're bouncing
absolutely
down the road. We all know that. But when you go and look, there's actually no literature. There's no numbers on just how dangerous it is. So we've done some research to find that it's in fact incredibly dangerous to our providers.
Right.
In addition, drive-in lights and sirens is probably beyond structural firefighting and EMS, the most dangerous thing we do.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, while we're screaming down the road lights and sirens, you're exposed to all these forces in this hostile environment. It's real difficult to provide good patient care.
Right.
And so when you try to provide that care, for example, manual CPR, it's for what benefit? If the CPR that you're providing is essentially worthless, why are we screaming down the road, lights and sirens, to try to provide it on the way to the hospital?
Hey, wait. I like doing glory compressions. I mean, seriously, that's good stuff. Oh, that's probably not good patient care, though.
No.
Oh, okay,
all
right. Just checking. I just want to make sure I'm not going off the rocker there. Well, you bring up a good point, though, as far as how things aren't strapped down. But the medic himself is, or herself, is not really strapped down in an American ambulance. And I'm very cognizant when I'm in the back treating. I'm like, I want to be at the head of the patient as much as I can, or right next to the patient, which is unfortunately not very safe in a front end or rear end collision for an attendant to be sitting that laterally. All the lateral forces on the body, your body wasn't meant to take it that way in a vehicle. So what have you guys done as far as looking? Have you done anything with Nadine, Dr. Levick, or no?
No, I haven't worked with her at all. I actually had the pleasure at NEMSP to meet her and see some of her stuff for the first time.
Okay.
In January.
Okay.
The pictures that you see, the video that she's done, where she puts the dummies in the back of the ambulance and then crashes the ambulance, just to kind of see what happens, is crazy.
Right.
Dr. Slattery out of Las Vegas has this great video he shows.
Really?
With his guys in the back of the ambulance trying to do manual CPR.
Oh.
And they're getting all thrown around. And the punchline to this demonstration is, when you look at how much they're thrown around trying to do manual CPR, the guys are only going 15 miles an hour in a parking lot. And it is all... that when you look at the video, it's all they can do to stay upright and actually provide quality chest compressions.
Right. Well, so Justin, what did you at least learn when you went to the UK as far as strapping things down? Did it change your practice at all or no?
No, it didn't, because the ambulances in San Francisco are set up so that you can do patient care while moving.
Okay.
We have short transport times. We don't spend long on scene because we need to get back in service. You know, our unit utilization is pretty high. Mark's system seems to be set up from a safety standpoint, and then if he needs to treat someone in the ambulance, that seems like almost like they thought about that second.
It becomes awkward.
Yeah, everything's in a cabinet, and I talked about it on the blog a little bit at the Happy Medic. You can just go in and probably type in ambulance or cabinets and find the post. I took some pictures and put them up there of Mark's equipment is all secured in cabinets behind the cot.
Really?
So Mark would need, and his gurney, by the way, there's a lift that comes out and lifts his patients up and then slides them in, and then there's a tray that can move the cot within the ambulance so that he can get to all sides. But he needs to move it to a certain point to get into some of his equipment.
Right.
As he's moving down the road. So it's safe that it's put away in case something happens, mm-hmm. but it's not safe that Mark has to do so much moving to get to it should he need it. Now, I know Mark, being a good paramedic, is probably going to think ahead and have things out. You know, like when I've got a patient who's got a Pooley airway.
Pooley.
Yeah. I'll get my airway kit out and set it out where I can get to it if I need to. That's right. Just thinking ahead. But Mark's ambulances have a great deal of interior space that I think could be better suited to, say, putting a bench down so you can carry a second recline patient.
Possibly.
Because he can only take one.
The thing that we found interesting with that discussion was, yes, we can only ever take one patient at a time, two if they're sitting. But there's no point in me taking two stretcher patients, because in the back of my ambulance is just me. It's not me and two, three firemen. It's just me. So.
But that brings up an interesting point, though. If you go to the hospital, how many patients does a typical ER nurse oversee?
A couple.
Okay, so why can't you treat two or three patients? I'm playing devil's advocate, of course.
Yeah. Well, I think, real quick, Mark, one of the benefits is that I'm required to see spine just about everybody.
Oh.
So I need that space to put more long spine boards down, whereas Mark is able to go in and say, well, you might be injured, so we will take precautions, but you're not, so you can sit. If I could do that, I could take five or six.
Yeah, sure.
Then it'd be a bus.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, and it would be a bus, and it'd be covered under completely different safety rules, and there'd
be
no seatbelt.
Safer.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But it was very interesting being in Mark's ambulance and seeing all that space and the way that they use it. I mean, we're doing the same job for the same kind of patients, and yet, again, what we learned is it's completely different.
Wow, that's incredible. So where do you guys go from here? What's your next stop on the whirlwind tour that is COEMS?
The next stop is for me and Justin to sit together in a hotel room for a few hours with our shifts up until the end of the year and try to figure out when we're both off and when it's not going to impact our families too much.
Right.
And try, and that's the first bit, because we're both full-time paramedic firefighter for Justin, mm-hmm. and we have to try and find some time to get these trips in that we've got. We want London to be the next one because it finishes off the San Francisco trip well.
Sure.
London, then maybe across Europe.
And along with Chronicles of EMS, were you guys a part of the new A Seat at the Table as well? Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. A Seat at the Table is another online series that we started, and it came from the conversations that sprung up after people saw Mark and I talking at the back of the ambulance. Folks wanted to have an honest discussion face-to-face with other providers, so we got together with Ted Setla again, and he had a concept for, well, why don't we sit people down at a table and give this the production quality it deserves for what you're talking about. We opened up a laptop, opened up a chat room, invited people to listen to the show and ask us questions, and we would talk about some of the issues in EMS. And it went great. We've got 5 episodes are live right now at chroniclesofems.com. It ranges in topic from talking about the Chronicles of EMS and what it means to the people that were there, to talking about how to properly use new media. There's a lot of stuff in the news right now about some practitioners getting in trouble.
Right, absolutely.
For some things, we talk about that and how to use it properly, and then talking about what is EMS anymore, and what are we doing with it, and what do we hope to achieve from it, and trying to move into the future of EMS.
Well, so what is EMS 2.0 then? Everybody says, oh, web 2.0 or whatever. I mean, what do you see that as for our industry and how we're moving ahead?
We need to stop and figure out what we're doing.
Right.
What service do we provide our communities? You know, it's neat that we have this box with flashing lights, and it can be different colors, but it's pretty much got the same equipment and the same mission to go out there and deal with life-threatening emergencies. But that's not the bulk of our business anymore. And especially here in the U.S., we're starting to recognize that the emergency calls are starting to dwindle, and we're not getting as many. And we're getting a lot of people that are using us as their access to primary care, that are starting to use us as social outreach. You know, well, where am I supposed to get my medicine refilled? Well, there's a pharmacy down the block. Oh, but they want money. Well, so do I. We're going to bill you for this. And it's going to cost you $600, and I'm going to take you to a room full of sick people where there is no pharmacy, and you're not going to get medicine, and in 6 hours, you're going to be $1,000 poorer and at home.
Right.
So what the concept of EMS 2.0 is, and Chris Kaiser from Life Under the Lights really helped me shape this in the early days, is we need to stop and rethink what we're doing and why we're doing it, and figure out what this service is and move forward from that. There needs to be more of a social outreach component. We're already doing it. We need to include it in our mission statements, in our training. We need to get paramedics and EMTs trained to a higher level. We're not a trade anymore. We need to step up as a profession. We need to act like it and earn the trust of medical directors and some of the owners and operators of these systems that I'm going to demand a good wage and a good retirement package from you, but here's what I'm going to bring.
Right.
You know, and we're starting to get not only University of New Mexico and George Washington University that I'm familiar with, but just walking this floor, there's advanced degree programs in EMS that are sprouting up all over the place.
Yes.
So imagine walking up to an employer and saying, not only do I have a bachelor's degree in EMS, but I'm a national registered paramedic, and here's the skills that I meet, and I've also worked in these systems where we have these special skills, and here's what I bring to the table. That paramedic and practitioner with the right medical direction could make a huge impact on their system. If we can just give the system the flexibility to let them do what we've trained them to do.
But you bring up a good point, and I think that we're seen as technicians, and when you say practitioner, mm-hmm. clinician, when you start saying those words, I think it strikes fear into into the nursing side of things, that they expect us to start taking over what they're doing, and they don't want us to take over from them. So how do we hedge that while at the same time moving our profession forward?
But we can't ever take over from the nurse's role anyway, because we are pre-hospital.
Right.
We're not in the hospital. We're not competing, you know. And I mean, what I find when I speak to the paramedics in the U.S. is most paramedics strive to be a nurse, whereas I'm the opposite. I was a registered nurse first, and I was striving to be a paramedic. That's what I always wanted to do. And we have an element of equality with nurses in our pay, where as a newly qualified paramedic, I'm on the same grade as a newly qualified nurse. Then they go up a lot quicker than we
sure.
do, because they've
sure.
got more opportunities and more chances to progress. But I don't try to be a nurse. And paramedicine and pre-hospital care is its own speciality.
Right.
And as a nurse, I was no better equipped to be a paramedic through my nurse training than someone coming in from an office. I had a better understanding of anatomy and physiology, but a nurse isn't a pre-hospital care provider, and a paramedic is not a nurse. It's two separate things. So there's no competition, but as paramedics, we are skilled healthcare professionals and skilled practitioners. And the difference I see in American EMS from Justin, who's fairly well compensated for what he does, to some of the rural EMTs who are, I don't even know how they live.
Who are volunteering in many cases.
Yeah,
right.
It's just wrong.
Doc, did you have a point?
Well, I was just going to ask Mark about how it works in the UK. So you said it's a separate specialty.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a paramedic, that it's you talked about subspecialization. This is a very novel concept for us in the emergency medicine in the States.
Yeah,
we're fighting right now for board certification, for recognition. For myself, like I'm an OMD.
Yeah.
So the idea that out of emergency medicine there is a subset mm-hmm. of a specialty in EMS.
Yes.
And that this is a very new concept for us in the United States. But okay. it's a subspecialty?
Yeah. It's not a subspecialty, it's a specialty on its own. What happened a number of years ago was that three or four years ago, was that paramedics suddenly became registered with the Health Professionals Council. Previously we weren't a registered body, it wasn't a protected title. And yes, some of the paramedics complained about paying a certain amount of money just to be part of this register. But they had to understand that we are now registered healthcare professionals. We have a standing in the community. You know, we're not just ambulance drivers anymore. Even though I quite like that term, because it harks back to the age of people just caring for people.
The white coats.
No, white coats, cap, peaked hats and all that sort of thing. It's a heritage and it's a tradition, but we've moved past that now. You know, and as part of the Health Professions Council, where we're in the same registry body as radiographers, physiotherapists, and such like, it's now paramedics.
A couple things. One, you guys have got to run soon.
Yes.
But according to the chat room, we may have a couple of questions. So if you're in the chat room and want to throw up a question, that would be great. We will take those questions. If there's anybody in the audience that wants to ask a question as well, they've got to go do another appointment at the Zoll booth here in a few minutes. And you've got to catch a train, right, Doc?
Indeed.
Okay. So while we're wrapping up, where can people find you, Doc? Do you have an email or a Twitter account, Facebook? How can people get a hold of you?
Well, I have to be honest. I'm scared to have a Facebook account because people might be able to find me.
They would find you, right?
Indeed. Yeah. My email is mkurz at vcu.edu. And I spend most of my, like I said, I'm a medical director. I spend most of my time talking and with EMS professionals. I was an EMS professional. And so I would be thrilled to hear about what folks do, how folks practice in other locales. So in Europe, I have colleagues that I sit with on the AHA board who the docs, emergency physicians, like I am in the States, working in an emergency department, they're actually in the ambulance.
Yes, I know.
So do you have that in the UK?
No, not at all. We're completely autonomous, and we, a lot of the times, refer onto the docs and
right.
give them the diagnosis and such like. But Germany is something where I can't wait to go to, and their paramedics can't act unless the physician's on scene.
Right.
I can't wait to see that.
And we're going
to
go see that, yeah.
That's fascinating.
And Justin, where can people find you?
TheHappyMedic.com. You can find me on Twitter at TheHappyMedic. You can find me on Facebook at
The Happy Medic.
Yeah,
nice. I'm sensing a trend.
As I like to say, just go anywhere on the magical interwebs machine, type in The Happy Medic. Chances are it's me.
And Mr. Glencourse.
Just like I said at the beginning, 999medic.com, UK Medic 999 on Twitter, and just my name in Facebook, Mark Glencourse.
Very nice. One quick question from the chat. They were asking, and there's a lot of questions in chat, so I'm just going to pick one. They were asking, should all EMS providers be called paramedic?
Possibly. We need to define that first.
All right.
You know, if someone walks into a room and says, I'm a nurse, nobody walks up and says, oh, what kind of nurse?
Right.
You know, but you walk in and you say, I'm an EMT or I'm a paramedic. People say like, oh, are you a firefighter too?
Are you an ambulance driver?
Do you drive the ambulance or do you get in the back?
Right.
You know,
do you actually treat patients?
Well, I'm the one that's going to keep your father breathing when
right.
he stops, you know,
yeah,
and,
yeah.
and it's... We need to figure out what it is. Before we go breaking paramedic into different things, let's define that first. And I think there's a lot of agencies that are trying to move towards that right now.
Well, very cool. Well, thank you guys very much. I appreciate
thank
that.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining me. Have fun at the Zoll booth. If you want to go see these guys, talk about Chronicles of EMS a little bit more, go to the Zoll booth, of course, after you listen to my show.
Right now.
I know. bad timing.
We
on
love
part,
you, Chris.
I know. We love you guys. Thank you guys for coming.
Thank you, Geek.
Well, so I'm still here, and nice round of applause from the live audience here. While we're kind of shifting gears, we get a couple people in here. I'm going to get Jamie Davis on the show. Thanks, Doc. I appreciate it. I'm going to get Jamie Davis on the show. I'm going to see if David would come up and join me because, dude, he's awesome. Yeah, look at that guy, David Koenig. And if you're in the audience and you want to just come up and ask us a question, that would be great. Absolutely. One of the things I think that I wanted to talk about while I was here that I don't think a lot of people know about yet, but it's going to be huge. It's going to be, when we're talking about EMS 2.0 and we're trying to understand where EMS is, we have to learn about where we came from. And there's a semi-new, if you know about the National EMS Museum, that was started by the LA County Fire, LA County Fire Authority, Fire District, I'm not sure what they are. That was started a while ago. But this May, they're going to be having what's called the Pioneers of EMS. And it's the very first show of its type where they actually are going to induct four of the original Pioneers of EMS, including some of the original doctors. And I hear Randy Mantooth is going to be there. So that'll be really cool. So have you heard about that?
I haven't, but I have an autographed picture of Randy Mantooth on my wall, and I'm very proud of it. Actually, I mean, it's like, you know, it's one of the, I'm old enough. How many? All right, people in the audience, how many of you are old enough to be in EMS because you just wanted to do this?
Yes.
Am I right?
Well, the people.
Am I right?
Everybody. Kelly Grayson too. He knew. Yeah.
You know, every now and then I just can't resist to send that thing flying across the ambulance in the back. It's just a whang. All right, so there I am.
Where's the camera in the ambulance that you turn to do that?
You know, I need to put one in.
Yeah, that would be good.
We need to get a video and do that.
That would be fun. That would be so cool. That'd be kind of a
we should joke. Have yeah. we should have a medication flipping contest.
Tonight See at the Gems games. At you could do that. Games. Yes.
He who can flip those covers farther than anybody else with just their thumbs. The Randy Mantooth Memorial Award for thumb flipping.
Yeah, or you turn to the audience right before you give your medication, and you're like, yeah, that'd be great. You gotta have the
yeah,
sound.
You gotta have
too.
The look too.
Oh, I gotta right. have the, yeah. Well, yeah. that's true.
Because I look cool.
Well,
right.
Thanks for joining me, Jamie Davis. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm not taking over the show.
You're just like, oh my god, I want to talk about this. This is awesome. Mr. David Koenig, hello, sir.
How are you, sir?
I'm good. How was your drive down?
It was good. Good. Very little traffic.
Get right up on it.
There was.
There you go. Yes.
Yeah. There was a little delay going over the Verrazano as usual, but other than that, it was 3 hours and 45 minutes of pure iPod pleasure. Listening
right
to podcasts.
Yes. Hopefully you were listening to the EMS Garage the whole time.
And
the EMS Educast and Medicast. Right, Medicast Live.
Oh, hey. Don't be turning my flag. Well, you know, as per usual, I really have no other topic to talk about other than those guys. But when we're talking about social media, and I wanted to get you guys up here to talk about EMS 2.0, because obviously Justin's very passionate about it. What is it to you guys?
You know, I think EMS 2.0 for me is about making bringing the issues closer to home. We're so fractured in the EMS systems that we don't talk to each other enough, and the opportunity to share information, whether it's via Facebook, via Twitter, via somebody's blog, and listening to podcasts and cross-pollinating these ideas, the Chronicles of EMS initiative. This is how we're going to learn how other people are doing things right. I mean, you know, we all know there's a whole lot of, well, this is the way we've always done it, so this is the way it must be. And somebody else may have solved that solution in a much more elegant way. And how are we going to know if we don't talk to each other? So for me, I think in the most basic, it's about bringing us closer together and having us have a conversation, but not necessarily face-to-face. I can have a conversation with a medic in New Zealand, and I have been recently, you know, just a new listener to the show and asking me lots of questions about my service and me asking him questions about his service. And so now I've learned something about how somebody else operates the system that I operate in. We're all doing the same thing. When it comes down to it, you know, we all show up, we have a patient that needs our assistance, we go through our ABCs, and we provide care. I don't care if you're running a motorcycle with a sidecar in Kenya or if you're running a big diesel, you know, truck in New York City.
Right.
You're doing the same thing. And I think that's what we need to remember and learn from each other and learn how other people have solved the same problems we're having. And that's what EMS 2.0 provides for me. I don't know what Dave would say, but...
Well, no, I would agree with a lot of what you just said, just from my own experience. You know, coming from a big private company with multiple offices, one of the things that we discovered was that our communication internally was poor. So if one office had a problem, we thought that it was unique to us, and meanwhile, all the offices were having the same problem. And once we were able to come together and communicate effectively, and that's really what the important part is communicating effectively. And I think social media provides the platform for that. Mm. What the users actually do with it is a different story. Once you communicate effectively, then you're able to solve a lot more of your issues because we're all doing the same thing, like Jamie said. You know, the end goal is the same, which is, you know, to care for the patient and make sure that their needs are met in the pre-hospital setting as best we can.
Well, and I was recently interviewed by Jennifer. I think she might be here. Jennifer, is that you? No, that's not Jennifer. I don't know. Jennifer is with...
that's Amy. Hi,
oh,
Amy.
That's Amy. Hi, Amy. Sorry. Anyway, but she was asking me what EMS 2.0 and where I really thought the social media was. And I said, you know, years ago it was I would know the people at my service and I might know some people at the surrounding services and then I might know a few people around the state just because I got to know them at a conference or something. Now I met you and you and them and I met a lot of people mm-hmm. just through this thing we call social media, and I think what it's doing is making us all realize that it ain't that different, and we don't have to have different ways of doing things. We can be like Jerry from West Virginia or Virginia? Virginia.
There's a difference.
There is a difference, and I know that. Yeah. That's why I was, hey, AJ. Hi, Mr. Heitman. How are you?
Everybody say hi to AJ. Just turn around and wave.
And say thank you, AJ. We're so glad to have you. Thanks for having us. So what Jerry was telling us, too, is he's like, why can't we regionalize? You know, why can't we be regionalized and doing bulk buying? And we're all buying ambulances. We're all buying the same Band-Aid. I mean, we're all buying an IV catheter. And here's the problem that I really see with that. We all debate about what is the most perfect thing, and everybody gets their own little, I want it to be this way, and I want it to be that way. Well, if there was only one thing, and we all agreed upon it, it would make our lives a lot easier. And it'd be a lot easier, too, to go between services. So if I had to hop on your bus today because, you know, mass disaster or something like that, I would be familiar with your equipment.
I'm not for mass disaster, but that would be so awesome.
It would be awesome.
Okay.
I wouldn't fly in for that, just letting you know.
you wouldn't be able to fly in if it was... Like, never mind.
No, okay. I know. It'd be fine. Okay. So as that goes, you guys see it that's really where we need to go. So how do we get from today? We recognize there's a problem. How do we get the next step? Who do we need to talk to? Where do we need to go with our contacts and our social media to make it different?
Well, I definitely think that one of the things that we need to do is we need to make sure that the line troops, the EMTs and the paramedics out there all know that social media is going on.
Okay.
There are, I can write 20 blog posts. You could record 20 podcasts. You could read my blog posts. I'll listen to your podcast. If we're not expanding that reach, then we're not expanding our message, even though we're basically saying the same thing. So we need to definitely get it out there that we are out there and that this is our message, and put it out to the LISAF that, hey, listen, this is a conversation. This is what social media provides. It provides the opportunity for conversation. So either you can get involved, and if they're passionate about being an EMT or a paramedic, as opposed to looking at it as a, well, it's a job, I'm just doing it till nursing, and so on and so forth, if they're passionate about it, they will join in the conversation. And those are the people you want in the conversation.
Yeah, and I'll just jump in here. You know, it is about expanding the reach. And we've had this conversation with Greg Fries of the Educast. He recently did a conference in Wisconsin. And, right. You know, he asked a group of educators from the state of Wisconsin, hey, how many of you have heard about the, you know, heard a podcast, listened to a podcast ever? And it was like, you know, crickets chirping.
Growth market. Yeah, I know.
and so it's a good thing for us, I mean, because it means we're going to continue to grow our listening audience. But it definitely says that we've got to do more about talking about publicizing what we're doing, getting the word out there. You know, and this falls to us to have our own blog posts and our own episodes where we, you know, make a list of our favorite bloggers. You know, our favorite topics of the month, and talk to each other and cross-pollinate a little bit more. And also tell our listeners and our readers, you all need to go tell somebody out there about a podcast. Right. And if you haven't heard a podcast or listened to one recently, you need to go, and you can go and get them in iTunes. They're absolutely free. Zoom Marketplace. Go and Google EMS, EMT, Paramedic Podcast, whatever you want, and check out the shows. Yeah, I mean, Chris and my show will show up, but there's other stuff out there.
Oh, there's a lot of stuff.
And I think that you can listen to what's out there, these independently produced, regularly produced shows that have been around for years and are people that are talking about a lot of different issues. And that's how we can educate the public and bring more people to the table to increase the voice of EMS, because that's our challenge. You know, how many people know? Firefighters have no problem getting their message heard in the public. We all know stop, drop, and roll. There's sprinklers in every house out there. You know, every big building and townhomes and apartment buildings, they're becoming the standard more and more. Why aren't AEDs included in that?
Right.
Because EMS doesn't have that voice. And we talked about it on the Medicast earlier today, but I just think that's a perfect example. We don't have our voice. And there's the opportunity for EMS 2.0 to help put that voice out there, not necessarily be the voice, but provide a platform for the voice.
Well, and I think what we're seeing, though, for the first time in an industry, and I think we see this going, I think it's not just in our industry, but as an industry as a whole, where it used to be that the people in BC or in your local EMS in your state EMS council or your state EMS association would be making decisions for you, and they would be the ones wearing the suits, and they would be the ones, you know, getting together at conferences saying this is how the world should be. And what we've done is we've turned it around. And we've said, you know what, we're going to be the grassroots effort, and right. we're also going to bring everybody to the table on this and say, we're not maybe equal as a voice, but I would say that we should have a voice in how this thing changes. Because, you know what, it's going to be me in a few years, and it's going to be the people that are coming up behind us in, you know, 10 years after that, that are going to have to live with what we did and what they did. So it's for the first time we have that opportunity to really change what's going on in our industry.
Yeah, and that's definitely an opportunity that we should take a hold of, and we should encourage other people to turn around and take a hold of. Blogging is not hard. Being on Twitter is not hard. Facebook is not hard. And if you're on Facebook, my crops could use fertilizing in Farmville.
oh, no. Oh,
yeah.
Oh man.
It's bad.
Enter the time sink. Visit Farmville, and it suddenly it's like Rip Van Winkle. It's 28 years later, and you've missed going to the store and missed. Oh my goodness!
I had to delete that one because I would literally get sucked in.
My wife
hours.
Got me sucked in, and I had to I quit. I got Mafia Wars, Vampire Wars, whatever. I was playing them, and I'm like, I got nothing done for 2 weeks. Yeah. There were no blog posts. I was barely podcasting, and I was like, okay, wait a minute, this is a problem.
And that's really a great example, because what we need to do, everyone has something to offer. I'm a big believer of everyone has some sort of skill, some sort of tool set to offer. So whoever out there is a Flash programmer, let's turn around and let's create EMSville.
Oh, right. I just was thinking, I don't need it though, dude. I don't need to go and restock my ambulance. I haven't been home for 3 days. My ambulance is completely unstocked.
And there's vomit on the floor.
I'm out of saline, and there's vomit on the floor. And, ooh, but look, I got a new needle crank kit. It would be fun, but again, 3 days later.
Yeah, not good.
3 days of beard growth and don't come in the room. It's like, I know another patient's coming.
Oh, wow. Okay, that took a serious turn that I really wasn't expecting, so thanks a lot.
You asked him to be on the show, and you asked him to be on the show.
I did, that's good.
That's a great idea.
Wow. There's a guy. There's a legend.
We have another.
I know. Mike. Well, he should come up here, but he won't because he wants to stay over there.
Who?
Richard.
Richard?
Yeah. Richard Weeks.
Weeks?
Meeker. Meeker. Oh, man. It's E-K-E-E-K. I know. I suck. I know. Well, if you know the Twitter tag for that one, you can add it. So, Richard Meeks from Wisconsin. Hello, sir. Nice to see you. I'm surprised you're here. I'm glad you're here. This is good. And I don't see... There were other people I saw walking around here that I know. Kelly Grayson, of course. And the Canadian ladies I know, but I don't... Everybody
is
else
Carissa left. Here?
No.
Canadian ladies. I'm sorry. Okay.
Well, no, they're actually from Canada.
Oh, you actually are from Canada.
Yeah.
Congratulations on the gold medal.
Congrats. I know.
No, all the gold medals. You guys rocked.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
I want to say you put on a heck of an Olympics, including one of the most epic traumatic injury videos, sadly. But, I mean, we all remember, the agony of defeat from the old ABC Wide World of Sports. You know, when I was a kid, every time it snowed, it was like, let's go out and recreate the agony of defeat. And there's a new video for that, and it's a sad situation. But, I mean, we certainly, you guys, the pictures I saw of the treatment of that individual, was pretty amazing. And, people right there working hard. And medics on the scene, and I talked to a couple of people who've been in contact with them, and some of the people in that system talking about how they're happy with the response. I mean, it was an unusual situation, and wasn't going to do anything at the time when you look back at it. But certainly, kudos on the Olympics and your EMS response in the Olympics.
They weren't even in the Olympics. You can't tell them kudos.
I can.
Okay, fine.
It's a country thing.
We still have Apollo Ono and Lindsey Vonn, and we got our own people.
All right. So while we're talking about this, and we're actually trying to fill time, why are a little bit, aren't we? Okay. So have you guys heard that NBC is trying to resuscitate trauma?
They have. They've ordered
three episodes.
Three or four, and I think I want to say next week is when the first new episode is going to air. There was forget if it was EMS-1 or GEMS, where the producer was like, well, I was a little bit surprised about the huge backlash from the rescuing community, but I'm going to take it in stride. And what is he doing? He's bringing in cameos from Emergency.
Yeah.
Wow.
Kevin
Tye's going to be on.
Wow.
As
an old medic. And how many people know this guy? He's been training and working in the office at Central for the last 10 years, and he's got to go out. Him. And he's now got to go out and work on the unit again. And, you know, what, I have to wear gloves?
What are those?
Yeah. Didn't Patrick Swayze kill him? Anyway.
Oh, wow. Okay, anyway. Well, you know, I just find it interesting, too, because they said that they're going to focus more on the characters and less on the environment of the actual show, which is interesting. You know, we were having a conversation about this the other night, and I said, if you look at what CSI did for forensic science, that stuff is fake, but what it did for the college programs and what it did to bring people into that industry was
recruited,
huge.
Boosted morale.
Huge, huge. And if there's one thing I want to say about trauma is that I hope that it does that eventually.
I hope that it does that, but I hope that those who come into the programs don't come in with unrealistic expectations.
Well, how many people came in with unrealistic expectations? We already talked about it. Okay, all right, from Emergency or right. From Rescue 911. I mean, I think we often forget about that show. I mean, almost everybody lived on Rescue 911.
There have actually been quite a few. Rescue 911 is one. Paramedic Stories on TLC.
Right, yeah, I remember that. That was actually good.
I thought that was a great show.
Yeah.
There was a short series on Discovery, 911 Bronx. There have actually been quite a few. Trauma is just the latest fictional blockbuster special effect major network one that's come along, and you know, initially it got the bad reaction. Now supposedly at the end of their last two or three episodes they had more viewers than Heroes.
Really?
Yeah, which is why they ordered the more episodes. So we'll see where they take it, if they're gonna continue to create false expectations regarding the industry, or whether they're going to turn around, focus more on the characters, and maybe make the medicine a little bit more realistic.
Okay. Well, I hope they do. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, we have to separate. You know, it's not NBC didn't go and create Trauma to be the next piece of training video that you're going to see at your next training night.
Right.
I mean, it is meant to be entertainment. We may all say that it's not all explosions and helicopters crashing, but you know what? We all, some part of us somewhere deep down, would love to have a call like that every once in a lifetime or something. I mean, we wouldn't be doing this if we didn't have that adrenaline junkie in us somewhere.
Right. Okay.
And so I does it misrepresent us? Certainly, there's some things in there that were reprehensible, but. Here's what I'll say. You know, people always bring up the sex in the back of the ambulance thing. You know, the very first episode, and they've got to show this. And okay, I'm just going to say this, and nobody needs to raise their hands, but we may not personally know them, but we know of them.
Yes.
It's not like this has never happened before in the back of an ambulance. So, I mean, you know, we just don't like the fact that they, like, brought it up.
Ah, ooh.
Okay.
Oh, they touched on a nerve that we didn't like.
Yeah. And so, we misrepresented us. Okay, well, there's goobers in every profession.
Oh, there's goobers in the back of the ambulance that I would not want to get because, anyway, I'm just saying.
Yeah. So that's kind of where I go with that. I just think that, you know, we need to let them be an entertainment show.
Right.
And maybe be more supportive of, you know, helping them to tell the right story and talk about use it as a platform to educate.
Okay.
And say, you know, because I'm so sick and tired, okay, this is not going to be on your National Registry exam, but what is the one rhythm you can only shock on TV?
Asystole.
Asystole.
Well, it's flat.
You know, it's flat. Flat line. Quick, give me the paddles. You know, but it's only on television. I think that should be on the registry test, by the way. You know, it's the only rhythm you can only shock on television. But I think that, you know, we could use it as a platform to educate people.
I think Bill Brown's right around the corner. We could probably go ask him to do that.
That'd be so cool. I just think we need to we could use it as a springboard through the blogs, through the podcasts, to talk about what we do. And if they have a show about a specific illness or injury, you know, use that as an opportunity to educate, to review our protocols, to talk to the public about what we do and what they did right, what they did wrong, but not end up blasting them because they're trying to entertain. You know what? It's the only show about EMS on right now.
True.
So, do we want to just lose the option to have a voice?
You know what's funny is we didn't have that same backlash against Third Watch. You know, it had a little bit of EMS in it, but we didn't have the same backlash that we did because this was the show about trauma, and you know, it was supposed to be the show.
And I don't know the answer to this, but did police have the same response to Third Watch that we have to trauma?
Or Hill Street Blues, you name any police show you want to talk about, and I'm sure that there was some segment of that organization that said, it's not us, but we'll take it. Yeah. I think they love Cops.
Right.
I mean, I like Cops. That's a good show.
So, I think what you can do is try to educate and support. And then if you want a reality show, support something like Chronicles of EMS, support your own shows, support your own opportunities within your own areas. You know, video is so cheap right now. If you want to educate your public about what you do, it would be so simple to take a video camera, walk around your average station house, and say, here, we're at Station 7. We're looking at the ambulance here. If you're in this community, this is probably going to be the unit that responds to you. We just wanted to let you meet us. You put it up on your Facebook page for your company or on your company website, and reach out to your public, educate your public that way, and create your own reality series.
Right. Which is why EMS agencies should all be involved in social media to help educate your communities and to be able to tell your own story instead of letting the media tell it for you.
Great. Well, on that note, let's wrap it. So, David, where can people find you?
Twitter, David Koenig, and blogging at PIOsocialmediatraining.com, as well as my personal site, davidkoenig.com.
All right. Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic.
The Pod Medic. Well, you can find me under Pod Medic at Twitter, Facebook, so, you know, PODMEDIC. You can also find my podcast every week at mediccast.com, and you'll find my nursing show, my MedicCast podcast, and then my links to my blogs and everything else.
Well, great. Well, thank you guys for joining me. I am, of course, the Geeky Medic, and I wanted to make sure that we also thanked our sponsor, Zoll Rescue Link, Rescue Net Link. I cannot get the three names together. Zoll Rescue Net Link, they're the ones that brought us here today. I'd also like to thank GEMS and GEMS.com, as well as Fire EMS Blogs. They were very instrumental in getting us here and making us a part of this show. It's been great, and I can't tell you how much I really enjoyed being a part of EMS today. We've got two more shows tomorrow. Make sure you guys come by and join us, and make sure that you're going to our website, emsgarage.com, looking up the content you can find there. You can also find us on iTunes and all the other places. You can find me, Geeky Medic, on Twitter, on Facebook, and if you just search Geeky Medic, I'm sure you'll find a picture of me, which I'm really sorry about. And finally, thank you guys for joining us. Thank you for coming, live audience. I really appreciate it. Come on, round of applause, really loud. Woo! Come on, finish it loud. Okay, thank you guys very much.
Thank all of you.
Yes, thank you guys. And I'm not going to end it like your show, though. You can go. That's good. Oh, that was great. That was awesome.